It's number 10! Podcast number 10.
Why are you yelling today?
Well, it's supposed to be kind of a celebratory... You know, I actually drooled on my chin when I did that somehow.
Hey, that's an expensive microphone. No drooling on the mics.
Well, okay. I was just going to say, thank God you got this foam windscreen. Hey, it's podcast number 10. I'm Carl Zahn, and this is 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn. He's Mike Clark. He's Dominic Zahn. We're excited because we made it to number 10, and we got a special guest today coming on, assuming that our technology does not fail us here.
Now the pressure's on me.
Mike, what's happening, you sex machine?
Not too much. First day of spring, and it's fucking 10 degrees out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It sucks. What about you, Dom? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you look good.
Always.
My 18-year-old son, Dominic, over there. Dom's going down for an overnight at Nichols College next weekend to start getting... I'm hoping that first night he doesn't get drunk and jump out a window.
Is that an all-girls school?
No.
Oh, too bad.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted to go for an overnight at an all-girls school. Never invited, though.
I always wonder what's that overnight all about? Is that just supposed to get used to being away from home or a little?
I'll tell you what it's about.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Campus lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good. You must be excited, aren't you?
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for you.
No, it's a football-based thing, so should be a good time.
Yeah, I was down there with you for introductory day. I like that school. Nice campus. Nice people. So I'm excited for you. Oh, to be 18 again.
Lord. I'm not sure I would want to be again, though. I don't mind being 25 years old that I am.
Yeah, okay. God, something in my throat when he said that. I would only want to be 18 again if I could do it taking with me the knowledge of my 57 years.
It doesn't work that way, though.
But when I said, to be 18 again, that's what I meant, only with the knowledge. I mean, you're not sending me back to 18 just to be 18, like not knowing what I know now.
What was your favorite decade? I just saw a study on this the other day.
Of my life?
Yes.
Oddly enough, my favorite decade is the one I'm in right now.
I would have to say that too, which is really weird. I'm in my 50s, but I feel
people
okay.
People laugh, but I'm grooving. Like, you know, my kids are grown. Everyone's healthy. We haven't had any tragedies. I got two grandsons. You know, business is good. Yeah. I'm grooving, man.
The thing about being our age, Carl, is people actually think we know what we're talking about. Because we're old.
There's another huge advantage to our age, which I've always meant to talk about on the show. But and Dom, actually, this is perfect for Dom. Our testosterone levels have finally declined to a point where we can think clearly. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, I'm using the head on top of my shoulders now, as opposed.
That's what I mean. Like, see, Dominic, you probably can't relate to that at all, right?
Oh no, not at all.
Yeah, Dominic is. Yeah, I mean, God, I have to swab him with gauze pads just to get the testosterone oozing out of his skin like oil.
Wow, that was quite descriptive.
No, but I mean, you get to our age, you can actually go 10 minutes without thinking about, cleavage.
It's true. It's true. So what do you think that the favorite decade for most people?
This was not just a rhetorical question. It was a study. Okay, what's the favorite decade?
What do you think?
I'm going to guess the first 10.
No.
Come on, go with
the 80s, I think. Think about it.
80 years old? No.
I'm talking about a decade of your life.
Like
20 to 30.
20s, 30s, your 40s.
Oh, yeah. I'd say 20 to 30 or 30 to 40.
That's
30s. 30s, yeah.
Yeah, 30s. Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, I like my 30s.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
20s, I fucking hated my 20s. It's just too much transition. I'm getting married. I'm having babies. I'm getting divorced. I'm getting married again. Okay, I'm done now.
I didn't know. See, I got right out of high school and went to work, and I just worked my ass off ever since then. So I feel like that whole thing was just a big blur, and that's why now things seem a little better, like a little pressure's off. And
see, I was trying to be a rock star, and with that goes a lot of issues.
Yeah, I was trying to be stable.
Yeah, no, I was trying to be unstable and succeeding.
Yeah, which turned out to be a full-time job for me for a long time. But yeah, I always look at these testosterone things, you know, where you can boost your testosterone. I go, well, who would want to do that?
No.
Especially with the possible side effects they list, which everything from developing breasts to growing hair in weird places.
Yeah, fuck that. Right. I'm considering being a eunuch.
Yeah. I mean, how are you? You okay with your T levels, Dom?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, you seem to be able to function, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
until a girl walks by.
Oh, yeah. One of the things for our regular listeners, and by the way, we want to thank personally our two listeners, Troy and Catherine, who both were nice enough to email me, and you can do that, and I urge you to do so, carl@carlfromnh.com. That's Carl with a K in both instances. We appreciate the feedback, so really, you two. I think Troy's from Alaska, and Catherine, I'm not sure where she was from, but thanks for writing in. We appreciate you listening. Tell all your friends and relatives about it. This is great listening for Sunday morning breakfast, I would think, with the whole family kind of gathered around the podcast box like they used to do with the old wooden radios.
Yeah, it's either church or listening to the show. Which would you rather do?
I'd probably want to listen to this show in church.
Absolutely. Yeah. I kind of like having a small audience, though, because it's in that cult status.
No, you know we don't want to bang that small audience drum too loud, but you know, I think you got my point. Anyways, for our regular listeners, you all know that one of the first things we do on every show is turn it over to Mike and Dom for a little weekly sports recap. And Mike, do you have that jingle all worked up for this segment?
Here's the sports with Dom and Mike.
That's what I fucking figured.
I thought it was okay.
All right, go ahead.
We can do it.
I can work on it a little bit
more. It's sports with Mike and Dom.
Oh, it's Mike and Dom. I gave Dom top billing.
Well, actually, it should be Dom and Mike. Yeah. Yep.
We could just call it Dyke.
No, just go ahead.
Put it together.
What's going on this week? Now, I listened to the Bruins on the way home from. I did a big audio show last night, and they were miserable. They lost. Yeah. To the actual team they're competing with for the last playoff spot, right?
I believe so. Yes,
they suck.
They're trying to scrape into it, but we'll see.
They ain't going to get it done.
Probably not.
No.
Celtics, on the other hand, are at least they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, without Isaiah Thomas is out though. They're still winning and stuff. Yeah. You know, even without a couple of the great players.
Freaking Zeller is up till now was a. You know, piece of shit now.
Yeah, they won't go anywhere postseason, but they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know.
But,
yeah.
At least we're not tanking like everybody else.
It's true. Yeah. But I don't know. There isn't too much going on in sports.
March Madness just kicked off.
See, I don't watch. I don't do college stuff, so you're on your own now.
A lot of people are into that.
Yeah. Well, everyone plays brackets.
It's just a competitive thing.
Yeah.
Really.
It is. You know, people that don't know anything about basketball, you know, fill out their bracket. It's kind of a fun thing. And everyone. Like, yeah.
The thing that I love is Georgia State, 14 seed beating a 3 seed. But then Kevin Ware, the guy who he had the bone sticking out of his shin at Louisville.
That was horrible.
He transfers to Georgia State because of playing time. And now he's big player over there. They got this other kid.
So he did recover from that.
Yeah, he did, which is a great story,
too. Did you ever see that, Carl, that injury on the basketball court?
Oh, no, I'm afraid I missed it completely.
Oh, my God, it was horrific.
What you guys are talking about.
You see the bone, pop out right out of his leg. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, awful.
Yeah, that sounds great, you guys.
Yeah. Plus, this week in the NFL, Chris Borland retires. He's 24.
That was a big story. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a positive thing for the game or a negative thing for the game?
I mean, for the game, probably not a great thing that if he starts setting this trend of young people retiring, but I mean, he's probably right.
Well, yeah, I actually think it's a positive thing for the NFL. Yeah, because it shows that most of the men that play in the NFL, that is their choice.
Yeah.
So you make that choice whether you want to play that collision sport or you don't. Right?
Yeah. That's true.
It's probably hard to walk away from the money.
The NFL is starting to get to this point where players are almost above the law. I know, Bernard Pierce with the DUI. And then, of course, he's picked up by some slack team. I think it was the Jaguars.
Right.
You know, remorse for somebody, should be going to court and to prison maybe. But instead, he's an NFL player. He's going to get a new team with a new contract. And
well, you know, those are a bunch of tough guys, you know. And really, you're pulling a lot of these guys out of the inner city that never had anything. And all of a sudden, you hand them millions of dollars. Look at Hernandez. Yeah. You know what I mean? He was a thug from the get-go, yet the Patriots handed, what was his contract, $40 million?
He was getting paid well.
Yeah, so he thought he was above the law, you know?
Yeah.
And now he sits in a prison.
Exactly.
So that's crazy. Crazy story. What's going on over there, Carl?
I'm doing show prep while we enjoy... Yeah. What happened to your, what happened to your Skype page there?
It's just sleeping. My computer. Yeah. See,
We're expecting a call. That's why I seem so jittery.
Yeah, and you notice I put my name on the. That way I know it's mine.
But to get back to your question, I was doing show prep while we enjoyed the.
Oh, I thought you were reading the funny papers.
While
over
we're
there.
Doing sports with Dom and Mike. Is that it? Are you guys wrapped on sports? I mean Dom, I know could go the whole hour.
I know he could.
It wasn't a big week.
It wasn't. You know,
there wasn't.
That was interesting. The young player retiring though. Yeah. You know. You know, a lot of people were talking about that.
It's always this time of year where not much is going on.
Yeah, yeah. Beanbag toss championships, stuff like that.
So I think you guys are done. It's 50 minutes with Carl Zahn and Mike Clark and Dominic Zahn or Dominic James or DJ or Dom or whatever you'd like to call him. The Archdiocese. Well, what's that weird noise, Mike?
Yeah, he's got to put in the password.
The phone is ringing, right? And the password's not in. Is that what it is?
Oh, no.
It is? Oh, is someone calling us? Look at that. The little phone thing comes up. Hello? Hello?
Is this Carl?
Can I help you?
Carl, how are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor and privilege. Just hold on a minute, Christian. It is my honor and privilege to present on bended knee... producer and co-host and longtime friend of the show, of the Dennis Miller radio show, Christian Blatt. Christian, what's happening?
Happy spring, Kyle. Does it feel like spring right now? It must be. You guys must have shorts and tank tops on, and you must be sunning yourself outside right now, right?
We're freezing our asses off.
Yeah, we're freezing our... It was 12 degrees here this morning there, fucko. You're in L.A.
Well, that must be... You guys use Celsius out there in New Hampshire, right? So that's got to be like, you know, it's 78 here, so that must be like the same degrees.
We use Celsius as long as you're using the word Celsius in its most prominent role here as slang for meth. Yes.
How's everything going? Thanks for having me on the. Is it called the Carl Zahn Show, or did you?
It's actually called.
Did you use the name Zahntourage?
If you had even bothered to do any preparation for this interview, you would know that it's called 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn, and I'm joined here with my son Dominic. You probably remember Dom was in studio with one of my trips to New York, and my pal Mike Clark, who runs the studio. So say hi to Dom and Mike.
Hi, Dom and Mike. Good to meet you without really meeting you.
Yeah, that's the way I like to meet people, actually. I prefer that.
Yeah, so Dominic
was... This is much preferable than to anything else. I prefer to only talk to people via podcast.
Yeah, we all...
And, I may not have done much research, but you've done a lousy job in introducing the plugs of your guest, Carl.
Yes, I know. Well, you know what? I'm not a radio professional like you are, and a couple things.
Well, you know, I'm not a radio professional anymore either.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about was, now that so for people that know, Christian's produced the show, and I think you go back with Dennis even before that, if I'm not mistaken. 8 years.
Yeah, I worked with him on his CNBC show as well. So I've worked for Dennis for the better part of the last 11 years.
Nice.
He's a cool guy. I like him.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's been great to me. And he's been great to Carl. I know it's not lost on Carl that most callers to radio shows don't get to, sit in for an hour or three every once in a while.
Yeah, so, I was adding them up, and I think I was in studio 11 or 12 times, and everyone got to meet him, my entire family, except for my, there was one aunt who passed away on the way to New York, so she didn't get to meet Dennis. I left her at a rest stop and then just picked her up on the way back because... Yeah, I didn't want to pay for an extra room. She's dead.
Now, when you would make a trip to New York, did you also deny Dom the opportunity to go to the M&M store?
I also denied Dominic the opportunity to go to the M&M store, although Dominic was lucky enough to stay, him and his brother Mitchell. That was the night in Fort Lee, if you remember, I had a near assault with a security guard at like 3 in the morning when a wedding party interrupted our sleep.
That was a good time.
Yeah, Dom, that was a good time, huh, Dom?
Yeah.
I got accosted by like a 4-foot Mexican guy wearing a thong in the middle of the night who opened his door and told me to go back in my room. And then I told him, I think something like, you better get back in your room before you get a door handle up your ass, midget. I don't do well in the big city.
Yeah, it seems like the trips where you would take the kids to New York were all teachable moments, as we like to say.
They're nice father, nice
life lessons.
Nice father-son moments, Christian. And speaking of father-son moments, you've got I can't say a son. You have a child on the way with your wife, Heather.
We do, yes. She just got to 20 weeks, and we're about a week or so away from finding out the gender.
Which do you prefer?
I feel like I would be able to relate better to a boy.
Girls are horrible.
There's a variety of different headaches for either or, but I feel like I at least have the skill set to deal with boy headaches as opposed to girl headaches.
I have a daughter. She's 33, and I have two sons, and she's still a pain in the ass. And she's 33 and has her own kids. And the boys are so much easier. It never stops.
You know what, Mike? We're supposed to be giving Christian optimistic parenting.
No, I'm trying to give him some guidance here.
You know, warm memories, all the things he has to look forward to.
Yeah, he's giving me real talk. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, he doesn't.
Real talk with Mike Clark.
Yeah, real parenting talk with Mike Clark. Well, I'm happy for you. And if you're smart, you've been taking parenting tips from me along the way, as I'm sure you have.
Oh yeah, no. I have the Carl Zahn parenting book, which because of your New Hampshire roots, I believe is called "Listen to Me or Die."
Yes, it's something like that. I remember one time in the show early on relating a story. This is when Sal was still on, about my son Mitch, Dom's brother, and he was young. We were at Disney World or Disneyland, and they got the big buffet and. He goes, you know, is there anything I can't have? And I said, no, you can have what you want, but just make sure you have some fruit. And he came back with what appeared to be a scale model of Mount Hood built with bacon and one grape.
Well, he had the fruit covered, though.
And that's a true
story.
Yeah. He took the whole tray of bacon.
You didn't specify how much fruit. That was the problem.
Well, you know, those are some of the things you have to look forward to. You'll remember, because of this story, someday when I'm long gone, Christian, you'll think back and go, yeah, I remember that story Carl said, so I better tell my son, don't take the whole tray of bacon.
Are you going to be in there for the delivery? Do you know that?
Do I plan to be in there the delivery? I do. I've already been under strict instructions to not film anything, which is good because I have no interest in filming it.
It's not something you want to watch again.
I don't even want to look at it the first time, much less, you know, look at it every Christmas.
Everybody wants to see that in IMAX at a house party.
Yeah. High def 4K video.
Exactly. So, Christian... as you were saying, Dennis has been super kind to me, as have you, because I know nobody gets through the slippery gates of the Dennis Miller Show without a blessing from Christian. We've had, we've loved, we've laughed, we've cried, have we not, over the 8 years?
We have indeed, and you learned the most valuable lesson, which
crying?
Always slip a 20 to the guy working the door. So I appreciate that over the years.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to talk about all the things I've had to do for you to get into the studio with Dennis. So tell me,
on bended knee, and that's how he started the introduction. So now I know what he meant.
Yeah, okay. I'm never going to hear the end of that. Tell me, Christian, what does the future hold for you? I imagine you and Dennis are going to continue some kind of business relationship. Friendship.
He will continue to send me his enemies list, and I'll make sure that that they get rounded up and are disappeared in a way that cannot be tied to him in any way, shape, or form. Nobody listens to this, do they?
Two people.
Yeah, we were just talking about our squad of audience, of listeners. I had an email from someone in Alaska last week who said they're enjoying the podcast.
Was it Gwen, or was it the other person that lives in Alaska with
it
internet?
No, it wasn't Gwen. It was a guy named Troy. Is he from the show, too?
Troy. Yeah, well, I mean, they have to know each other because only like 8 people live there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know,
so we got Alaska wrapped up almost then.
We pretty much have
the monopoly up there.
Well, yeah. an answer to your question, Carl. You know, it's so new. Dennis doesn't really know what he's going to do next, but he's told me that you know, I'd be his first call whenever the next thing is, which is great. But you know.
And who do you think the second call will be?
Probably to the phone company to change his number so that I can't actually call him back.
I was hoping you were going to say me. You know, you'd be the first call, and then I'd be the
second.
He would call.
He'd call Rob Lorich.
Thanks.
He'd call Salmon.
Yeah.
He'd call Gene Beretta.
Yeah, Gene.
He'd call Stefan.
Yeah, I know we're getting close to me somewhere.
And then he would call each of Gene and Philly's various characters. He'd call Burton Berlin. He'd call Leo in Richmond.
He's going to say
And then he would call the great state of New Hampshire to talk to Mark from New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then,
I know I'm coming really
then,
soon here.
And then he'll call Dom.
Any minute.
And then after he calls Dom, he'll call you.
Or actually, he'll call Dom, and then he'll probably just tell Dom, say hi to your dad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So until that day, I mentioned this on my podcast that was posted today, the Black Cast, which a big announcement here.
Uh-oh.
On this forum, I mentioned for the first time.
Oh, my goodness.
I went out of my way to buy the domain blackcast.com, blackcast.com. I probably did it about a year and a half too late, but it was like $23 for 2 years.
How did you?
So I figured it was worth it.
How did you beat out everyone else that was going after that? Because I know there was there was a great herd of Nubian goats that also wanted blackcast.com.
Believe me, there were you know, the fact that it wasn't taken by my Danish brethren, and you know, there's a well, he's retired now, but there was a Danish boxer with exactly the same spelling as my name. His name was Christian Black, and I just expected that he would have it. He's the reason why, like, international sites like Gmail, I can't get cblack at Gmail, because that guy has it. So I had to get the one that was equally as descriptive of who I am, smallpenis@gmail.com.
Oh, okay. All right. Excellent.
See, now, Kyle, I'm surprised you didn't have that one.
Well, mine was .net.
Oh, .net.
Yeah, smallpenis.net.
Carl cornered the market. He had it at AOL and
CompuServe.
Yeah, I got a lot of your emails by accident because of that.
is it really by accident, or is it by design, Carl?
Well, you know, nothing's by accident, as they always say.
Now, listen, you're
out there in Hollywood. You're in the heart of show business. I think you said once that doesn't your wife write, or didn't she write an episode of Mad Men or something? Or
she did indeed. She wrote an episode of Mad Men that aired last year.
Oh, I love that show.
She worked on the show for 3 years, and she was primarily the assistant to the creator, Matthew Weiner.
Nice.
And he gave her the opportunity to write a script, and that's been great. You know, she's been able to take a lot of meetings and things, and you know, my plan to have her get hired as a TV writer and start making the real money while, you know, I sit at home and worry about blackcats.com. Well, let's put on hold while we wait for the baby, but
well, you can work in your memoirs.
As soon as the baby's born, the next day, my wife should be out there trying to get hired on a
good
TV show.
I'm glad that plan. I'm glad that plan is taking shape for you to basically be a house husband, take care of the kid, and work on your blackcast. That's exactly how life should be, and that's how it is for most married couples out there. Now, also, you're close to San Francisco, right? I mean, you're in the same state.
I mean, I'm close to San Francisco in the way that you're close to, you
Vermont,
know, Stamford,
yeah.
Connecticut.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like 5 hours away, but I could get there. Do you need me to pick something up for you, Carl? Another one of those special deliveries?
No, it's not that same San Francisco thing you did for me last time. I just wondered if you had a comment about the San Francisco Archdiocese apologizing for setting up a spray nozzle where they were watering down homeless people that were sleeping in the doorway of the church.
Well, the only problem with watering down homeless people is if you have to then budget the money to soap them up first. You know, I mean, if you're going to do it appropriately and get them clean. You know, there's so much money to go around in the Bay Area. Maybe take them to the Gap. You know, buy them at least one new outfit instead of the one that they've been wearing for the last 6 years.
Well, listen,
I don't know. I mean, I think that they should be much more. You know. They should be much more compassionate towards the homeless people than what they're doing now.
I think it was holy water, though.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, Mike. Good grab. Well, good grab there.
I'm a Catholic from way back when.
Well,
sorry,
I was
going
to say to Christian, and I'm sure he remembers, I think 6 or 7 years ago, I was way out ahead of this when I think I called the show and said that I have always felt that the homeless best served moist.
Yeah. I do remember. I hope you bought homeless futures at that point.
Yes,
I know you have a lot of disposable income to play the market with the 12 kids that you have. So,
you know, believe me, it's moments like this that I think homeless is my future. And
well, you know, it's funny you mention that because I'll get back to the big question you asked before. Is what's next for me? And you know, listeners to the Dennis Miller Show over the years, you know, there's a very specific political bent, and you know, people were very upset about the coming of Obamacare, the amount of time that people are spending unemployed. And look, I'm going to be out of work on April 1st, and I am so excited for my 99 weeks of unemployment and my Obamacare. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I know. In California, you really clean up with that unemployment. I know you better than to think that you're going to be sitting around with nothing to do, my friend. It's been a great 8 years, and I notice on the boards and all the kind of chatter that's going on, I think it's really finally starting to hit everybody as we approach the last week or two. It's weird, you know, how a radio show becomes a part of your life in some, you know, either small to major way, for me, kind of major. And as it gets closer, it just really kind of hits you like, wow, you know, I'm really going to miss this and miss the people and the whole deal. It's been great.
Yeah, no, it kind of hits you that, you know, and I don't know, we talked a little bit about this on the podcast. The idea is that something about radio is that, you know, it's like you get up in the morning and it's in your home with you, and then you take it in your car, and then if you have the right kind of job, you can probably listen to it at work too. So it sort of like goes with you, so you can bring the show around, and especially the way that you can download it now, you know, listen to it on your iPod or even on your phone, for God's sake, and the fact that it goes everywhere with you, and it's so much more personal than TV, maybe it's because of the amount of time that you're just, you know, just talking, you know, and me and Dennis just talk, you know, chatting, and I feel like it helped people feel included. What I'm finding is how surprised I am and how much people enjoy having the podcast. They feel like, oh, it feels like we know you guys, you know, and like, this is the way I talk to my friends,
yeah,
and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's
and,
great.
I
like the podcast. I like your podcast, the Blatcast, which you, I mean, how many, you're up to like what, 120 now, or?
We just posted 117 today.
Wow.
And,
nice.
You know, we posted a lot of episodes throughout the month of March.
Do you do them daily?
We're basically doing it every day in March.
Yeah.
Just because we would record these, sort of, we'd do these like marathon sessions where I would take calls from regular fans and friends of the Dennis Miller Show, much like Carl's on himself. And, you know, we would just divide them up into 1 minute episodes. And so, you know, and I think that people really appreciated it. And, you know, by doing it that way, I think it helped, you know, just that it was only an hour and it was there every day. It's somebody, and I wish I could remember who posted this on my Facebook so I could give them credit, but they said, like, these black casts have been like methadone to get me off of the Dennis Miller show.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, you know, and I also think it gives people something to kind of hang on to, because it does, man. I mean, it's like I kind of joked when I was on the black cast with you a few weeks ago. Everyone's talking about this as though someone had died, and that tells you everything you need to know, because it is in some way, shape, or form, however minor or ethereal, it's a loss, you know. But like all losses, you look back on the good times and the great memories and the friends. And I'm grateful for it, man. I consider you a close friend. I definitely hope to actually meet you in person someday when I'm in L.A.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that. I've never actually met you in person. And there's so many of the people that I do consider friends from the radio show. And I know them pretty well. I know a lot about their lives. This is like a handful of people I've actually met, you know.
To make it more exciting for you, trust that when you do actually meet me, it will be when you least expect it.
Right. Sure. Well, that's kind of what I always expected. I always expected to be tackled somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
you'll feel like a cold wind on your neck. It's like something really creepy is about to happen, and then you'll be meeting me seconds after that.
Yeah, and the last words that I would have heard in my life in that scenario were, "I'll be in lots of laughs in Andover, Mass. this Saturday at 8 o'clock."
Either that, or my other one I use a lot is, "Is it safe?" Yeah, I like to go back to the old marathon man.
Yeah.
Hey, Christian.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, man. Stay in touch. We'll let you go. I'm sure you gotta. I don't want you to miss another minute of that warm, sunny weather out there in California. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Carl. I appreciate it. Nice to meet you, Mike
nice
and Dom.
To meet you.
And
good luck with the baby.
Absolutely.
I thought he said gravy.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Best of luck to you, Carl.
All right. You too, Christian. See you, man.
All right. Bye.
All right. So there you go, folks. Our first high-profile guest on 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn, Christian Blatt of the Dennis Miller Show. Great cat.
He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, Christian's a cool guy. You know, they're living large out there. They're right in the thick of it. He ran the L.A. studio while Dennis broadcasted from his home studio in Santa Barbara overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Maybe we should move our podcast out there as opposed to this little dungeon in New Hampshire.
Well, maybe just move ourselves out there.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a whole different world. Yeah. But that was nice of him to take time. He's been very kind to me. And Dom, you probably didn't hear him, but he's the guy behind the scenes when you were down there in New York and met Dennis. Yeah,
so he was the producer, right, of the show?
Yeah, he was the producer, and then after they got rid of, this guy Dave Weiss that they always called Sal. He's a writer, comedian. He was co-host of the show for like the first 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And then when he went south, Christian stepped in and kind of co-hosted the show as well. So he had his hands full. He was producing, scheduling guests and keeping all that, which is a big deal on a 3-hour daily show, and also sitting in as kind of co-host to Dennis. So
yeah, it sounds like they're reading the L.A. lifestyle. I mean, his wife's writing for Mad Men and stuff. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's into it. So that was good stuff. Thanks, Christian, for coming on. He's had me on his podcast 4 or 5, 6 times. Usually when I was in New York, I'd hang around and record 5 or 10 minutes with him on his podcast. So all good stuff. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. It's 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn. You can chirp in. You can write. If you'd like to call in, we would arrange that, or maybe we'll just give out the Skype number at some point down the road.
That's
kind of frightening, but
that's fine.
Yeah, you can call us anyways and let us know or comment on the podcast or anything you'd like to hear us talk about. Carl, K-A-R-L from... Whoops, Carl at carlfromnh.com. Don Trump getting into presidential politics a little bit. Donald Trump in New Hampshire, huh, boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Amherst last night in this town, this very town, at some house party.
You know what's crazy is I like Trump.
He's a kook.
Maybe not personally, but I mean, for president, I could be easily swayed to support Trump. And
he'd be a badass president.
Well, yeah. And there's why. Because he's such a lunatic. You know, he's outspoken. He's actually a guy that's got the balls to come in. He strikes me as someone to be like, remember with Reagan, how they released the hostages? The
right.
Night, yeah,
no
the
nonsense.
Night, yeah. The night that Trump is sworn in as president, I think you see all the ISIS guys, you know, laying down their arms and, you know.
I think he could win if he changed his hairstyle, though.
Well, it's funny. We were talking about it before we started recording, folks, me and Dom and Mike, and talking about Trump being in our town next door. One cool thing about presidential politics in New Hampshire is New Hampshire's always been a mainstay. It's the first state in the country to vote and that whole
They're
deal.
All showing up here. Bush was here last weekend, right?
Yes, yeah. So they all show up. And if you're into politics,
you can meet them all.
You can meet them all here. You know, when I worked on Senator McCain's campaign, I went to 30 or 40 of McCain's small town hall meetings all over New Hampshire. Sometimes there'd be 12 people. Sometimes there'd be 200.
It's a unique opportunity that other states don't have.
It really is.
Yeah, you know, we should take advantage of it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I have to tell you, when I did that, it was fun and interesting, and to be kind of mixed up in politics at that level was exciting in an odd kind of way, but it also makes you realize how lucky we are in this country to be part of that, because what we take for granted doesn't happen in like 3/4 of the world, just the whole idea of politicking and elections and people not getting killed over it, you know?
It's true.
Yep. So anyways, I was reading on the front page of the Union Leader, which is our longstanding conservative newspaper here in New Hampshire for the uninitiated listeners, and Trump was in with Joe McQuaid, who's the editor over there, and I was reading a little bit of it, and Trump, you know, he's always so defensive. He goes, because people make fun of him. He goes, nobody's going to call me a punchline. And I kind of like that. And Trump's the kind of guy for me, like you hear him for a while and you go, wow, you know, I like this guy. I could really vote for him. And then he'll say one thing where it's like someone threw ice water in your face. And you go, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
God, I was about ready to say I support Trump.
And he didn't get where he is by being a dumbass, though.
No, he's not. Not a dumbass. And I like the outspokenness. And that's one of the things I like about Chris Christie, too.
Yeah.
But he had this line while he's talking to McQuaid, talking about Netanyahu, who just barely got voted back in last week.
They didn't
week.
Think he was going to win.
Yeah, it was very close.
And Obama was hoping he wouldn't.
But Netanyahu did make it back in. And I guess it must have been yesterday that Netanyahu walked back saying that he will support a combined state between Israel and Palestine. He kind of walked back some comments that he made, and Trump wasn't aware of it during this interview with McQuaid. So they have it in the paper where McQuaid mentions it, and Trump is kind of caught off guard, like he didn't know it. And he goes, well, you know, I've been on the road all day and doing, you know, shaking hands and basically saying I missed the news flash. But Trump's response is, wow, that's wild. He's a wild negotiator. And, you know, I read that, and that was like the ice water moment.
Yeah.
Where I go,
he's
okay,
wild.
this is our next president saying that Netanyahu is, hey, that's wild. He's a wild negotiator, that Netanyahu. Woo, wild.
He's kooky.
Yeah, he's kooky. And then you kind of go, okay, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not presidential material. But it's going to be fun to watch, man.
Because, you know, they always got on Bush's case. Because he had like a folksy sort of approach to the way he talked. Yeah. And a lot of
Bush?
People perceived it as being dumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it was just him.
He's folksy.
He's folksy.
Yeah. It sounded pretty dumb.
Yeah, but
had a nice little dumb tone to it.
It's
a southern thing.
It's a
you know
southern
what I mean?
Folksy. Exactly. Thing. Yeah. See, like, I used to defend Bush all the time when he ran and like the Jim Browdy and those folks on 96.9 were always, they say he's dumb. And I would say, well, Bush flew F-18s in the National Guard, the Texas Guard. So even though he never went to Vietnam, he never saw active duty.
Right.
I can tell you that you don't get to be a pilot in an F-18 if you're fucking dumb.
Right.
I mean, that just doesn't happen. So there's nobody dumb that sits in the seat of a $40 million aircraft that flies 1,200 miles an hour. That just doesn't happen. So he's folksy, believe
me.
George Bush, not dumb by any stretch of the imagination. I would argue our current president, very, very smart, but also dumb. You know, he's college smart. He's Harvard professor smart.
I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors with him.
He can
talk his way around things.
It's that kind of smart where you get good grades, but then you don't have a lot of, deft touch with the average man type thing.
Man, I noticed, I saw him on the news the other day. Boy, does he look old, man. That job, you start out this young person, and then you, when you're done, you're like this old person.
Yeah, it does
you
that know? To everybody.
It's crazy.
It's like a Disney time-lapse photo of the flower blooming and wilting, you know, it's in like true. 30 seconds.
It's true. He's all gray and like...
Yeah, I love that.
It's wrinkly and, you know.
Yeah, I love watching people age in time-lapse. Who doesn't, right?
Well, I know he did, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't with that job?
It's 50 Minutes with Carl Zahn. He's Mike Clark. He's Dominic Zahn. Dom, what's on your mind? How are things with your friends? Is there anything you want to talk about? Any
shout out to my friends who actually listen to this stuff
now. Yeah, we'll
now.
Give a shout out.
Yeah. I guess Kyle Leach and Jason Blaze listen to this a little bit.
Kyle, Jason, thank you. Kyle Leach, an aspiring pilot, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, slightly, yeah.
Yep.
He's getting into it.
It's great to see young kids actually have their shit together a little bit. You know what I mean?
Something well, you know, it happen in Milford a lot.
It's funny, you know, a lot of people complain about the youth now, and I work at a bunch of schools, and I think the kids are actually pretty on it, you know?
They're on it by today's standards.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure on kids nowadays, though.
Yeah, well, if you're smart enough to know the pressure's there.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
But yeah, I would say there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be on their game.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I've had that talk with Dom. You're gonna have to be on your game in this world, man, to make a living.
It's hard to find your game, though.
You know? You better find your fucking game. Let's see, there's the parent come out. Just find your fucking
game.
And
go to your room now.
Yeah, go to your room and find your game. I'm pretty sure your game is in your room somewhere. Here's something that always endears me. Everyone that's listened to my old radio show or isn't familiar with my politics at all knows I'm a big, big union fan.
Fan you being of sarcastic?
Of course I am.
Okay.
The unions
I was
almost
say what?
Unions almost single-handedly destroyed the country. And here's a reason why. After working one day as a substitute teacher in Illinois, David Piccoli could be entitled to an annual pension of more than $30,000. And he's suing to make sure he gets it. Okay, so here's some piece of Shiite unionist. So listen to this guy.
He's a Shiite?
Well, listen, he's already collecting two other union pensions to the tune of like 60 grand a year. And now because he was a substitute teacher one day in a public school system, and believe it or not, I mean, and folks, this is why I like Scott Walker of Wisconsin, who broke the teachers union down there and their collective bargaining. Here's the kind of crap that unions get with collective bargaining. It is law in Illinois that if you work for a teacher in the teacher's union one day, you become eligible for that pension for the rest of your life.
I'm moving to that state.
Yeah, there well, so look at this guy who obviously doesn't care. Look, I don't care if people think I'm a piece of shit or, you know, I'm going to get this pension. I'm going to sue for it to make sure I get it. And that will bring his Illinois taxpayer funded pension retirement up to 90 grand a year. I mean,
that's awesome. You can start on Monday and have a retirement party on Friday. That rules.
Well, or you could teach like one day at three different schools over the course of 3 weeks and have pretty much your entire retirement portfolio, at 100 grand a year.
That's
what's
crazy.
That? 2 grand a week.
Yeah.
Right?
I could live off that.
Unbelievable. Another story, and this doesn't happen every day. You know, it's not often that you can turn tragedy into something positive. In upstate New York, a huge, huge fire at a poultry barn killed 50,000 chickens.
Fried chicken for all.
Right? That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, how often is it, as a fireman, you get to go do your job, put out a fire.
And have a barbecue.
And have a huge chicken barbecue.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Look at that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can get past the feathers.
And, you know, you would think in a situation like that, that they kind of call, right? They call people out. Well, you know what I mean? Extra chicken. Hey, we got a bunch of extra chicken.
Yeah.
If you haven't eaten yet, you just give the address.
There you go.
Yeah.
Surprising. There's a racially, politically incorrect joke that's urging its way out of me.
I know. Yeah. I like the restraint there.
I'm not going to say it because I know the times we live in, but here's where I was going, Justin. I'll let the audience put the pieces together. Think of it as like a joke puzzle. Ferguson, Missouri, scores of black people, 50,000 fried chickens. You make the joke. Okay.
You connect the dots.
You connect the dots because I don't want to do it. It's 50 minutes with Carl Zahn, or probably the late Carl Zahn.
But you Mike just put Clark, that in my head, though, Carl.
And okay? Well, and that's exactly what I do.
That's Mike. Like the Louis C.K. thing. Have you seen that skit?
No.
About people not saying the N-word, and they'll say to him, you know, the N-word. And he goes, you're making me say it in my head. Just come out and say it.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do. This is half podcast, half subliminal Jonestown massacre in the making. Yeah. It's only a matter of time before I show up at one of these things with a huge pot of Kool-Aid.
Told you you're going to have cult status on this show.
Yeah, a huge pot of pot Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
there you go. A body found in New Jersey in the Passaic River, down where your in-laws live, Dom.
Nice.
Turns out to be the missing Wall Street journalist.
Guy's did your father-in-law have anything to do with it?
Guy's been, Mike, how dare you?
Some of the stories I've heard.
No, father-in-law's dead, so he couldn't possibly have anything to do with it.
Probably
yeah,
not.
This guy, Bird, who wrote for the Wall Street Journal, he's been missing for over a year. He was last seen by his family January 11th, 2014. And I guess last week some guys in a canoe saw a red jacket and they called the authorities and the authorities came. And they had looked for this guy far and wide, never were able to find him, and finally found his remains. So Wall Street Journal journalist, what do you think? Let's take the over-under here. Foul play. Dom, you want a bracket?
More than likely.
I would say definite. How long was he out there floating around?
A year.
Well, he's been gone for over a year. It wasn't Holy floating anymore.
I mean, how does nobody look there? I mean,
well, they should have just sent my wife out there. It's a true story. She went to the beach, and she was probably about your age, Dom. She saw, this is Crane Beach down in Massachusetts, Ipswich, and she saw a coat out, like floating around in the water out there. So her brother said, oh, well, go out there, and this might be some money in the pocket. So she wades out, and it's a dead body. She found a dead body at the beach.
Oh, cool.
Was there money in the pocket, though?
and she said she couldn't get away from it because you know how the tide
keeps pulling you back. Once you get too far out,
I guess
out,
it was a boating accident. The poor thing was traumatized. She didn't go to the beach.
You want to talk about how unfair life is? You know how many times I went to the beach and came home with a fucking clamshell?
Leave it to my wife to find a body.
A starfish, missing one. Yeah, I mean, God, that brings shell collecting to like a whole new...
You can never get the whole sand dollar. You got little bits and pieces.
I got a cadaver
today. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Your kid comes home from the beach with a shiny rock, a sand dollar, and a body.
And a corpse.
And a parka. Yeah. it's a great country. I love America.
I couldn't go to the beach for like years after that. And I don't blame her, the poor thing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's as a child, it's traumatic. Mm-hmm. As an adult, that's... That's an exciting day. TSA, our esteemed Transportation Security Administration, allowed a convicted felon to use the pre-check program at a big airport and board a plane. So this guy turned out was a member of a domestic terrorist group and had a long string of felonies, but somehow managed to qualify for the pre-check at the TSA, which I guess is a special line where you don't have to take your shoes off or have your baggage checked.
My in-laws came up to visit a couple weekends ago, and they had mentioned they got in that. And it's like, I didn't even hear about anything like that. How do you get on that list?
Well, it's supposed to be
because my feet don't smell great.
One of the first criteria is supposed to be, I'm not a felon.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I guess I have to queue up.
Second criteria would be, I'm not a member of a domestic terrorist group. It is unbelievable. And
that's
in Florida,
crazy.
Florida, as we rapidly approach the end of the show, this is a great story. Teacher got a 5-day suspension for referring to one of his students as Taliban. Michael Youssef. Father of the child complained and called the 5-day suspension disgusting. Said that when his son entered the classroom with a hoodie, the teacher would call him the rag-headed Taliban. And when calling on the child during class, he would often refer to him as the Taliban. Let's see if the Taliban knows the answer. Over under problem, Dom, or okay with you?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Mike?
You have to be so careful in the school systems nowadays. You can't say anything. I might joke about it. You know what I mean?
That's not even like a little thing. That's like a racist remark.
Yeah, it's not even close to skirting the edges. So Dom comes in on that one with a firm no-go. Mike is checking present like a senator
would do.
The
handbook on that
legislation.
One.
Yes, no.
Can I get back to you on that?
Yeah, yes, no, present, pulse. And yet you guys were unanimous on the other vote that I can't even remember what it was now.
I can't either.
Welcome to ADD podcast, folk. It's unbelievable.
It makes it interesting, though.
Hyper attention deficit disorder. Hey, guys, I decided we sign off a new way starting this week where we go... I'm just going to go, I'm Carl, and then you're going to go, I'm Dom, and then you're going to do, I'm Mike, and then I'll close it. So let's try it right now. I'm Carl.
I'm Dominic.
I'm Carl.
And that is 50 minutes. That's it, Mike. The show's over.